he was crucified. Praise the Lord. Let's pray, and then we will look into the Word of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us. We have nothing to fear. You told us in your Word that perfect love casts out fear. And we know that we are perfectly loved by you. Thank you, Lord, that you have poured your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts to see wonderful truths in the Word of God. We ask that you would help us to grow in the things of the Lord and help us to grow closer to Jesus. We thank you for this. In your name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as you know, many of you know, we've been talking about the identity of a believer. It's very important to know who we are, how God has created us, who he created us to be. And this is a really rich and deep topic that goes throughout the Bible from cover to cover. And so it's something that we are not rushing through, but we're taking our time. And we're asking the Holy Spirit to show us these truths because we need his help. Some of these things are beyond our thinking. And so the only way that we can get a grasp of them is if the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of our heart to see these things. So that's why we pray the way that we did, and we're believing that he will do that exact thing. So we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. This is our foundational scripture, and I'm not going to expound upon this, but just simply remind you that in verse 10 it tells us that we are God's workmanship, that God created us, and we were created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The reason why we've chosen this as a foundational verse is because our passage is because our identity is inextricably linked to our creation, the way that God made us. The way that God made us, if you think about it, is our identity. It's who we are. And so we are talking about how God made us, how he created us. And this letter to the Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul. And I believe that when he talks about us being God's workmanship, he's primarily thinking of our heart. And the reason I believe that is because of the things that Jesus himself said in the Gospel of John in the third chapter. And we're not going to look at those passages. We've looked at them in depth for many Sundays now. But one thing that Jesus told Nicodemus was that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And Jesus said we must be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. Amen. And so primarily, even though our bodies are wonderfully created by God as well, they are also his workmanship. I think that the Bible primarily underlines issues of the heart, issues of the soul, if you will, the inner person. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking primarily about, that our inner person, which, if I may, I would say is the real you, the real me. It's who we are. And then we dwell in our bodies, which are a wonderful gift from heaven. We're going to look into that in just a moment, take a closer look what the Bible has to say about our bodies. But at any rate, God has created us in Christ Jesus. And so our identity is linked with Jesus. As he is, so are we. And that's a powerful statement, but it's actually a quotation from Scripture. We're going to look at that Scripture later on. Not today, but another Sunday. So we were created by God to reflect the glory of Jesus, to be like him. In fact, we talk a lot about discipleship, and I think the chief aim of discipleship is for us to be like Jesus. Could you agree with that thought?
Amen.
To love like him, to forgive like him, to be pure as he is, to be gentle, to be kind. All these things, we are to reflect his glory. And so that's what we're working towards, and that's what God is doing in us. and he's changing us through the power of his words. Now, the screens are flickering. It's not human error. There's just something wrong with the cables. So just bear with us, and it's nobody's fault. All right. So again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that we're God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. We were prepared by God. And then again, the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter tells us that we are born of God. And the way this happens is through faith in Jesus. Think of John 3:16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one-of-a-kind, unique Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the way that we are recreated, the way we are born from above, is through faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right. So I've chosen for this Sunday to focus on a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And Deacon Stephen actually read that verse to us. But it says something like this. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Mm-hmm. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Amen. And of course, I've been meditating on that scripture and thinking about it. And as I was meditating on it, it led me to a desire to kind of skim through the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I will show you some of those scriptures on the screen, but I have a special ask of you today that if you have the Bible with you, a paper Bible or an electronic one on your phone, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 so you can follow along with me, okay? And eventually, I will show some of these scriptures on the screen, but I did not want to put the entire chapter up on the screen. That would be a lot of slides. So the amazing thing is that the Apostle Paul begins 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with a discourse about our bodies, and he refers metaphorically to our physical bodies as tents. Let me go ahead and read this to you, and I'm actually reading from the NIV. He says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." This is a more powerful scripture than we think. It is amazing what he's actually communicating here. First of all, he's calling our physical bodies an earthly tent. So the thing is that the body is symbolized by something, by a structure that someone lives in. For example, when you go camping with your family, you don't identify with your tent, probably. Your tent is the shelter that you live in that keeps you safe from the elements, right? But what really matters are the people who dwell inside the tent. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So our body is referred to here as a structure or a tent that houses our inner person, our soul and spirit. And he's saying that there's coming a day, and it happens to us all. It's not something we like to think about. But as scripture says, it is appointed unto people once to die. And that day is coming when our tent will be destroyed. But here's the great hope that we have, as he says in this verse, when our tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. Did you notice the change in language? He goes from tent to building. Now you might be thinking, I don't really think that there's much to that. I think it's extremely significant, and I'll tell you why. Do you remember in the days of the Old Testament when God gave instructions to Moses and the children of Israel, and he told them to build a tent to house different articles of worship, including the Ark of the Covenant? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Yeah. Hopefully you remember more than what you saw in Indiana Jones, right? And the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Hopefully it's actually some biblical knowledge. But God told them to make a tent, and it was to house the presence of the Lord. what we call the Ark of the Covenant, which is a strange word to our minds. Why was it called an ark? But at any rate, what it was is it symbolized a throne. Probably the best way to understand it would be to understand it as a throne that a king would sit upon. And so this throne was designed as God's throne. And he sat on it, and that's why it had cherubim on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, because they were the temple guardians. At any rate, the tent was something that could be dismantled and carried from location to location. It was made of ostentatious and expensive materials, but at any rate, it was a tent. Now, fast forward several hundred years, and we come to King Solomon, who was King David's son. He succeeded King David, and I hope that you remember who that is. He's the one that had the sling and the five stones, and he killed Goliath, the giant. So David had a son, Solomon, and Solomon built a temple that was permanent for God. Do you remember that? And eventually the Ark of the Covenant was moved into the temple, and it was sanctified, and the presence of God filled it. It was so strong that the Bible tells us the priests who were ministering during that wonderful event, the power of God was so strong they could not stand up to minister. They couldn't see because the cloud of God's glory filled that building. And it was a permanent structure. And where the temple was wonderful, the sanctuary or the tent was wonderful, the permanent structure, the temple, was glorious. It was beyond imagining. And so it was something that was more permanent in nature and much grander. And so that's what Paul has here in mind. He's thinking of the tabernacle, which was a tent that was mobile during the days of the Old Testament. And he's saying that our physical present body is similar to a tent. And it's only for a season. Did you catch that? Do you understand that in the Old Testament, the tent did not live on perpetually, but they eventually retired it in favor of a permanent temple? Okay? So our physical bodies have an expiration date. There's coming a time when they will be laid aside. But never fear, because we have a temple from God made without hands. That means that it's not by human creativity, but it's something that God will make himself. Amen. And it is our new resurrected body.
Amen.
Are you listening this morning?
Amen.
So it is not temporary, but it is permanent. In fact, it will be eternal. And it says that right here in chapter 5, verse 1, it's an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. This is wonderful.
Hallelujah.
So your new body, your resurrected body, is handcrafted by God himself. It doesn't come through biological processes. It's going to be more amazing than you can possibly imagine. And you and I cannot even begin to comprehend it. It will be a wonderful thing. And it will be a permanent habitation for our inner person, for our soul and spirit. But you think, I want a new heart and a new spirit. I'm glad that you mentioned that. You know what? You were given one the moment you believed in Jesus.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
All right. You were born from above the moment you believed in Jesus. God took out your old heart, my old heart that was saturated in sin and dwelling in darkness, and he took that away and he gave us a brand new heart, clean, pure, washed in the blood of Jesus, created by God, filled with God's own spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You received eternal life at that moment. Your heart, believe it or not, is in pristine condition if you believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And there's coming a day when your body will be like that as well. A new body that is eternal. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yes.
And so Paul is pointing out these things. And what he's doing is he's pointing out the superiority of what God has created over what was made by human effort, okay, including even our bodies. And so he goes on to say that we groan, we long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. We have a desire because as we're living in the flesh, our flesh creates all kinds of complications for us, doesn't it? Right. But you might argue with me and say, well, no, what I really need help with this month is to pay my electric bill. But why do you need electricity? Do you think your soul needs electricity? It's because your body has need of it. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yeah.
Your body needs electricity so you can turn on the stove and create food so that your body can be nourished. Mm-hmm. You need electricity so that you can switch the dial and the heat comes on and your body is warmed. Your heart doesn't need any of those things, does it? And so most of the needs that we have in life are attached some way or another to our physical needs. And we groan, and as time goes on and we get older, we get to the place where we are saying constantly, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? We want Him to come. And we want to receive our new body from heaven. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about that, and he goes on for several verses, and he talks about the promise of resurrection, that God will indeed bless us with a new body. And so he says this in verse 6, therefore we're always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We're not presently residing in the spirit realm. Our bodies are holding us in the physical, aren't they? But there's coming a time when the body expires that we will go and be with the Lord. And I would say that is the greatest blessing of receiving a new resurrected body, that it will be able to usher us into the presence of God and keep us there. Isn't that a beautiful thing that we'll be able to see God face to face? And so he goes on and he says, we make it our goal to please the Lord, whether we're at home in the body or away with it from it. For we must all, in verse 10, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him or her for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we know that that day is coming. Now here's something really important that you can just make a footnote in your Bible. The judgment seat of Christ is not held to determine our salvation. Our salvation was determined, again, the moment when we believed in Jesus. Amen. In this life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The judgment seat of Christ is one of reward. We are not saved by our works. Ephesians 2:8-10 makes it very clear. No one is saved as a result of works so that no one may boast. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is the work of God.
Amen.
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 So we will stand before the throne of Christ someday to receive our rewards for the things that we have done. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. He says that the things that we have done that are worthless will be burned away in the day of judgment like hay, wood, and stubble. But the good works that we have done in love will remain and be purified as silver and gold.
Amen.
So this judgment seat of Christ is not judgment over whether or not we are saved, or whether or not we may enter into the kingdom of heaven, but we enter into the kingdom of heaven because we believe in Jesus. Amen. And that has already been decided if you truly believe in Him. Okay, so he goes on here in chapter 5, and he begins to defend his ministry. Now this, I believe, oh, I can't show you that yet. All right. So he goes on to say, and I'm going to read particularly in verse 12. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again. The Corinthians really had a problem with the authority of the Apostle Paul, even though he founded their church. They just really wrestled with it, whether or not he was qualified or not. He's saying, we're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. And so you'll see here in his argument, he's saying, what matters is not so much the outward as it is the inner heart. Amen? If we're going to put stake in something, we should put stake in the beauty of our hearts and make sure that they are adorned in the righteousness and the holiness of God. Amen? We should care that our hearts are filled with the glory of the Lord, that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. These are the things that really matter in life. And so you can understand why he's been talking about the body and then the eternal body from God up to this point in time. We are so captivated by the physical. We spend so much money caring for it and thinking about it, so much time invested into the physical, and it's going to perish someday. It's fading, it's passing away. And he's saying the heart is of much greater value. Now, that is not to say that the body is not a wonderful gift from the Lord.
Yes.
It is. And you know what? God knows that we have physical needs. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6. He told us that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all our physical needs will be met.
Amen.
He told us, your Father in heaven knows that you need clothing. He knows that you need food to eat. He knows that you need all these natural things. God cares about that. Amen. That is of great importance to him. And it's part of our redemption that Jesus came to redeem us, to give us an abundant life. And we thank God for that. But the Apostle Paul is pointing out that things of the heart are of eternal importance. Amen?
Amen.
And so these people, the Corinthians apparently, were really putting a lot of emphasis on the outward appearance, and he's telling them, please look at the heart. Please look at the heart first and foremost. And then he goes on to say, in verse 14, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died.
Amen.
He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again.
Amen.
This is really deep stuff. Especially this phrase, and I don't even know if I can begin to communicate this to you today. But he said, if one died, we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. That's an amazing thought. And it seems a little mysterious and puzzling to us at first, unless we understand that Jesus died as us. He died in our place.
Yes, he did.
So his death is our death.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. That's an amazing thing.
Amen.
And you know what else is true? His resurrection is our resurrection.
Yep.
If one died, we all died.
Yep.
If one rose, we all rose from the dead. Amen?
Yes.
And again, this all has to do with our identity with Jesus. Did you know that the death of Jesus is part of your identity as a believer? Can you imagine that? He died to sin. So did we. We died with Christ. We were crucified. Our old self was put to death. And then as he rose from the dead, so did we. And his resurrection life is part of our identity as a believer. Who are you? You are one who has been raised from the dead. Amen? You are one who is now filled with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And so, he's telling us that we need to identify with Jesus in these things. And now, 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Can you understand why now, since I've carefully gone through this whole chapter, he would say that?
Mm-hmm.
We regard no one according to the flesh. So it doesn't matter, in other words, right, so much. The characteristics of the body, mm-hmm. if it's tall or short, mm-hmm. skinny or not, what color it is, all of these things are of no import mm-hmm. when it comes to who we are in Christ.
Yes.
But did you know that most people identify strongly, most strongly with their flesh?
Mm-hmm.
That is where their identity lies.
Mm-hmm.
As a child of God, you're going to need to renew your thinking. Your identity cannot lie in your flesh. It needs to lie in your heart, which is joined with the Lord's, who you are in Jesus. And let me put it even more pointedly. Your identity needs to be in Jesus.
Amen.
He is your identity.
Yes.
He is my identity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's beautiful because it lifts us out of the realm of all the weakness and all the problems and the infirmities. So he's saying we regard no one according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And to make his point even stronger, he goes on to say, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, what is he talking about? Well, remember, this was written several thousand years ago when Jesus walked the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the apostles walked with Jesus, including many of the authors of the New Testament. We don't know. Probably the apostle Paul was too young then to have walked with the Lord. But many of them knew Jesus in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, we once regarded him according to the flesh. Remember that they sat across the table from Jesus. They held his hand. They could hug him. They knew him. They knew him and were familiar with his flesh. But now he says, we regard him thus no longer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been disappointed reading in the Bible that it does not give us a physical description of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you wish you knew that what he looked like, so to speak? And we are disappointed that we don't have that description of Jesus in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who wrote the Bible, with the exception probably of Luke, were Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what meant the most to them, especially in ancient times? They didn't care so much what a person looked like physically. They cared about the person's character. So ancient biographies, they won't give you a description of how tall the person is, what color their eyes were, and that sort of thing. But they'll talk a lot about their character and their deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
But you know, we're so advanced now, all we care about is their hairstyle. Yes, that was a biting criticism. It's so sad to me. All those superficial things that don't matter, and 5 years from now will be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet that's what's most important to us, but not to the Lord. And do you see how beautiful that is? That just evens the playing field, doesn't it? Because we all have a common salvation. We've all been given to drink of the same Spirit. We've all been given the same resurrection of the resurrection life of Jesus, haven't we?
Amen.
So even though we're so different when it comes to our physicalities, when it comes to the gifts of God that were given to our hearts when we believed in Jesus, we are the same. Amen?
Amen.
And when I say the same, I mean we've been given the same life, the same Spirit, haven't we?
Yes.
And I know that we've been given various spiritual gifts, but it just evens the playing field. We don't even know Jesus now according to the flesh. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everything we've said has led up to this point in time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, How did you end up in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Believe.
Ephesians 2, 8 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
We were created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Creation speaks of your birth.
Yes.
And how were you born from above? Through faith in Jesus, weren't you?
Yes.
So who's in Christ?
We all are.
All those who believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
So he's saying if you believe in Jesus, you are a new creation.
Amen.
Here's the beautiful thing. All the old has passed away.
Yes.
Are you happy about that?
Oh, yes.
I certainly am.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it wonderful to have a nature that is the love of God?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know that you and I have become partakers of the divine nature?
Mm-hmm.
And above all, the divine nature is love.
Mm-hmm.
The old has passed away and the new has come.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, because of what he has said previously in this chapter, there's coming a day even when we will receive a brand new permanent body made by God himself.
Amen.
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 But even so, living now in the flesh, we have a new heart. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's why we have to study God's word to learn who we are,
mm-hmm.
our identity. What does the Bible say about us?
Mm-hmm.
No matter how we feel, what God's word said is true.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't be ruled by your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions are a blessing from heaven. It's great to feel those feelings of affection. And even at times in the right time and place, in the right circumstance, anger, etc. We should feel a righteous anger from time to time. Shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
God does. So emotions are a gift from heaven, but they were never meant to rule us. Amen.
Amen.
What or who should rule us? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
When we say Jesus Christ, we mean Jesus is King.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
He is the one who should rule us, not our emotions. Our emotions should bow the knee in obeisance before Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And let him sanctify our emotions and make them pure the way they should be, without corruption. Lust is nothing more than corrupted love.
Mm-hmm.
And it can lead to all kinds of terrible tragedy. But you know what the love of God does? It produces a tree of life.
Amen.
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 It offers life. It is a source of life.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave. That's what the love of God does. It gives.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And live in the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're studying who we are. Who does God say we are? We've been fooled by the enemy of our souls. We've been fooled by the world. Oh, friends, don't look to the world for your identity. Don't let them shape who you are and tell you who you are. Why would you listen to them? If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. I quoted the words of Jesus there. I can't take credit for that one. Why would you listen to the things that they preach from their podium? Don't let them affect you and line your life up with the way they want it to be. They're blind, sitting in darkness. Come to the light, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Follow him. Follow the leader.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Follow the one who really knows,
Amen.
Whose eyes are open. He is light.
Yes, he is.
And he's the light of every person who enters into the world. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen.
Come to him.
Yes.
Learn who you are in his light.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Don't take what the world says. Why would you? It's not true. Follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And let your identity be shaped and formed by what He says.
Yes.
And above all, He says, you are a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
You are new. The old is passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And all things have become new.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, we bless you and honor you. We thank you that we find our identity in you. Lord, we thank you that you have come to take away the old and to renew our lives. We worship you this morning and we praise you. And we ask that throughout this week and into the future, Lord, you will help us to understand the way that you have created us to be and who we are in Christ. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.